for a second? All right. Thank you for that beautiful song. I'm glad he is coming again. Praise the Lord. I would like to make a deal with this crowd. If you'll do something for me, I'll do something for you. I plan tonight to, if you'll make this deal with me, to preach the shortest message of this camp meeting and the fastest and all that. But I would like you to give me something too. So, and I thought maybe someone else would do this, so maybe it's not a good idea that they haven't done it. But we're kind of been scattered out really all week, but now it's a little bit smaller crowd. And so the deal is, I would like to, and there may be a reason why you're sitting in the back. So if there are, you stay back there. But if there's not, I would like to invite everyone to come up to the first 10 sections, which is, I guess it's alphabetical, and I think Brother Bunn is in J. Is that right, Brother Bunn? K? All right, well, K. If we could move everyone that can in front of K or above. Amen. And maybe Sister Whitaker could play some more Amazing Grace for us. Let's all stand. Sing Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Dangers. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far. Thank you very much. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Sister Whitaker. Wow, it looked like we just increased 100-fold. This is amazing. All those people were hidden back there somewhere? All right, very good. So it's my turn. And I appreciate all the evangelists and president, each one who's thanked the people for all that they've done. And I appreciate it as well. I thought they were very eloquent in their appreciation. And so we thank you. I thank you for the invitation to come and be here. And it's a joy. I've been looking forward to it. I was here back in 15 and knew that there were some wonderful people out here. And I'm glad to meet them again. And got to meet Brother Hurst back then for the first time, and Brother and Sister Hurst. And didn't really know them that well. I've gotten to know them a little better this time, and I believe our hearts beat together that we're on the same page. I feel a kindred spirit, brother, and with the whole camp. And I appreciate the camp and each one that's prayed and given and your kind words. Anything you've done to promote this camp, God bless you. And thank you for the generous love offering. I pray the Lord will richly bless you. And you, it's no secret that you have some of the best cooks here, if not the best camp cook that there is. And so we appreciate that. And I'm like Brother Whitaker, I'm about afraid to say anything about those people up there, the sound, because all kinds of things have happened. And I'm about afraid I'm going to get electrocuted or something up here. But other than tonight, they've done a great job. Thank you. We appreciate that. They did a tremendous job this week. And the Whitakers, I appreciate them. And it's like he said, we've seen each other a lot over the years, but mainly from a distance. And we've got to be together. And we got on each other's nerves a little bit, no. But we've had a great time. We've had a great time. Their singing has inspired me. I love Spirit-filled singing, and I appreciate them. They're wonderful people, and I appreciate John and Lori Whitaker. Appreciate his brother Barry and his wife as well, and even his dad and mom. I know Brother Whitaker's dad and mom, and you won't find any better people, and I appreciate them so much. Praise the Lord. And so we just appreciate each one. And then Brother Spivey, I've known Brother Spivey again. I guess we've been at youth camps and camps together, just seeing each other from a distance. But I've never heard him preach. But wow, God certainly has his hand upon him. Thank you, Brother Spivey, for being faithful to my soul this week. He said things we needed to hear. And what he preached at this camp needs preached everywhere. Amen. And I appreciate that so much. And he has a beautiful family. It's so good. And we thank God for the Spiveys. His ministry has been wonderful. And brother and sister Smith, God bless them. They are just an inspiration. And I feel like Brother Smith and Brother Spivey I feel like I've just been among giants this week. And they've hit home runs every time. And I've just tried to get on base. And they've knocked me in every time. But now, I don't know what happens when they don't follow you up. So I'm still going to try to get on base tonight. But appreciate them so much. And message this afternoon, what a challenge. Again, that needs preached everywhere. And I appreciate these folks so very much. And may the Lord bless each and every one of you. I want to see y'all in heaven. Amen. Amen. Let's all make it by the grace of God. We can. Amen. We can by the grace of God. So my time hasn't started yet because I've just been talking. But so now you really must have wanted to make this deal. So let's go ahead and make the deal. And my phone says 7:52. And let's begin. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to preach tonight, the battle is the Lord's. You know, I never noticed it before, but the last phrase of chapter 19 of 2 Chronicles says, deal courageously and the Lord shall be with the good. I thought that's pretty good words there. And I was reading a little bit about Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah at this time, and it sounds like he didn't get it all right. He made some mistakes, but he did a lot of good things. He did a lot of good things. And here we read in this last verse, deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. But then that's when the enemy showed up, right after that. So we're at camp meeting, and some of you, maybe the enemy's already showed up. But you may run into him tomorrow or probably real soon. It was after the fire fell on Mount Carmel that things got kind of rough for Elijah. So we have an enemy. But I'm glad tonight that the battle is the Lord's. And so we have in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat. I like this king. And but he's got a situation. He has not one army coming against him, but three. Three armies, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir are coming against King Jehoshaphat. And I want to start out tonight by reading his prayer that King Jehoshaphat prayed to the Lord. I tell you, when we have a problem, one of the best ways of dealing that problem is to take it to God. Take it to God. There were other kings that hired other kings to help them, and they did different things, you know, made deals with the devil's crowd and different things to try to face the enemy. But this is what we need to do, what this guy did, King Jehoshaphat. He laid it out before God. And let's read his prayer, 2 Chronicles 20. And beginning, his prayer begins at verse 6. O Lord God of our fathers, Art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this beautiful prayer that we can pray to you as well. And Lord, I believe there's victory in this prayer for us tonight. We pray that you would bless, encourage your people, Lord. Many are tired tonight. We pray you just touch us all. Help us all to keep on keeping on. Help us all to make it on the other side, Lord. We know it's your will. And Lord, may we all join in that great camp meeting in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. The battle is the Lord's. Three armies, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir, come out against Jehoshaphat, and he realized he's in trouble. He realized that he has no power to defeat in himself, on his own. He has no chance in this battle. And so he begins to pray. But not only does he begin to pray, he begins to encourage others to pray. You know, that's a great tool that we have, a great weapon that we have in this battle of life that we're in today is prayer. Prayer. Heard that saying, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees. Someone has said prayer does not prepare us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And I've appreciated the times of prayer this week. It's been wonderful. The early morning prayer meetings have just been wonderful. The prayer times before the services, I appreciate them so much. They've been a help to me. I appreciate when God helps us when we pray. And frankly, I like being around praying people. Whenever there's been times when I went to UBC, I won't go into all that, was a student, I was already married, but we were looking for a church, and we went to a certain church, and my wife and I both were impressed, because when they prayed, you didn't just hear one person pray, but there was a volume of prayer, and frankly, I feel like I just need to be around praying people. And Jehoshaphat realized, I need to pray, but it'll be even better if we can get a group together. And he called on the whole nation, the whole city of Jerusalem, to pray, to ask help of the Lord, and they even proclaimed a fast. So, by Brother Smith's message this afternoon, it sounded like this would be a first chair prayer. I mean, they're not just half-hearted about this. It's not just now I lay me down to sleep. They realize if God don't help us, we're history. And maybe you've prayed something kind of like that recently. Amen. So they begin to pray and to seek the Lord. This is something we need to do. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. Pray without ceasing. The Word of God tells us, God help us. It's a mighty weapon. It's a mighty weapon. I love the church at Philippi. I like the book of Philippians. I love the church at Philippi. They were a giving church. But, you know, Paul went down there and dug them out of the rough, that church. And usually when Paul would go into a town, he would first of all go to the synagogue. But obviously there was no synagogue in Philippi to go to, but there was a river in Philippi. There was a river there, and the Bible says in the book of Acts that this river was a place where prayer was wont to be made. It was a place where people prayed. And we may not pray with the intensity when we get home as we've prayed here and have the special prayer meetings and all get together and all, but folks, don't quit praying. Don't quit praying, and hopefully we've grown. I tell you, these brothers Smith and Brother Spive, they've stretched me, and they've told us, they said, this is the way, walk ye in it. Amen. I appreciate that, and I hope we've all, I've been challenged this week. I hope we've all gained ground this week. But he's praying, he's calling on the name of the Lord, and so he is praying and asking God to help. But not only that, he reminds God of who he is, and God hasn't forgotten, but it's good for us to take God at his word. It's good for us. One of the mighty weapons in the battle that we're facing in life is prayer, but another is the promises of God. The promises of God. I'm thankful tonight that when I cannot feel his presence, I can stand on his promise. And some of us have gone through some deep, dark valleys where we went through an extended period of time and didn't feel his presence. I'm glad his promise was still true. And we could stand on his promise. And that's what Jehoshaphat's doing. He's praying. And in the midst of his prayer, he's saying, Lord, this is who you are. And Lord, this is what you said. And he is quoting from 1 Kings, and if you want to turn quickly back there to 1 Kings, and it's chapter 8, and it's when the temple was being dedicated, and verse 37 is Jehoshaphat's just praying scripture. You know you're praying good when you're praying scripture. He's standing on the promises. And verse 37, if there be in the land famine, if there be in pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if there be enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hand toward his house, then hear thou in heaven. And so he is praying this prayer to God, and he's standing on the promises. 2019, we can still stand on the promises, and you're going to come up short-handed if you don't use the promises of God in this battle. Amen. And I love this 1 Kings 18 when the temple was being dedicated, and Solomon even goes on down there to verse 56 of 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. He's talking about the church at Philippi, and they were a wonderful church. They were a giving church. They helped Paul time and time again. They were generous givers. But Paul gave them a promise from God in chapter 4 and verse 19 that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. That's a promise. One commentator said that you keep pouring out and God will keep pouring in and his pitcher's bigger than yours. Amen. We can stand on the promises of God tonight. Praise the Lord. I want to read to you a promise out of Isaiah that some of you probably know by heart, but I should. But Isaiah chapter 43, appreciate the promises of God. And friend, they're mighty weapons when they're in the battle. And Isaiah 43, verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The promises of God, friend, we can stand on them. Jehoshaphat's praying, said, Lord, this is who you are. This is what you said. Amen. And so he's presenting this to the Lord. He's standing on the promises. The Lord, this is what you said. And then in verse 10 of going back to 2 Chronicles 20, starts out, and now. Lord, this is who you are. This is what you said, but here's the situation we're in. Now, did God not know what situation they were in? God knew what situation they were in. And we're not going to tell God anything he doesn't know. And sometimes I almost feel guilty asking God for so much. But that's what he told us to do. I said, Lord, I've asked you for so much. But he said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. And God wants us to recognize our own need. And Lord, here is the situation we're in. The Ammonites, Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir, they're coming out against us. In verse 11, behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession. Jehoshaphat did not want to lose the homeland on his watch. God had given Israel this land. God had given his people this land. And we've heard about Moses and Joshua this week, and Joshua going in the land and God giving them the possession. And we read in the Bible about a man named Naboth who refused to sell his possession, even to the king. It was not for sale. But here's King Jehoshaphat. He's like, Lord, you gave us this. We don't want to lose it. Especially while I'm king. I don't want this to happen. I don't want the Ammonites to start living in Jerusalem under my watch. You and I have inherited possession. I thought of that song. Thank you, Brother Whitaker, for leading us in that song, Amazing Grace. That was my great-grandfather's favorite song. That was many Christians' favorite song. My great-grandfather, he was not saved. He was a rough fella, I guess. Tobacco farmer there in Madison County, Kentucky. And close to where he lived, there at Silver Creek, there was a moonshine still. And you've heard jokes about that stuff, you know, but some of that stuff wasn't jokes. One fella said his dad's name was Joshua, and they says, your dad the Joshua that made the sun stand still? He said, no, my dad was Joshua that made the moonshine still down there in Kentucky. And one time the sheriff came and told the little boy, he said, I'll give you $2 if you'll tell me where your daddy's moonshine still is. That's where they make whiskey, moonshine. I'll give you $2. I'll give you $1 now if you'll tell me where your daddy's moonshine still is, and I'll give you $1 when I get back. The boy said, no, you give me $2 now because you won't be coming back. Those are jokes, but there's a lot of truth to those jokes. And there was a moonshine still, and this is not a joke. And my great-grandfather, he liked stopping at the moonshine still, and very often it was convenient, and they would do that. That was part of their life back there in the 1920s. But one day, a Methodist preacher from the Carolinas, I don't know if it was South Carolina or North Carolina, I don't know his name, but a Methodist preacher came to Madison County, Kentucky, and preached a revival within a mile of that moonshine still in a one-room schoolhouse that I saw. The one-room schoolhouse was still standing when I was a kid. They've tore it down now, but it was still standing when I was a kid. And this Methodist preacher dared to go into the heart of this country, tobacco country, right in the near a moonshine still, and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And back in the 1920s, everybody'd go to anything like that. It was a social thing. And my great-grandparents went and took their kids. But the more that old Methodist preacher preached, the madder my great-grandfather got. His name was, well, we called him Pap. Pap. And his wife, that we all, well, she died before I was born, but they called her Mammy. Pap and Mammy. But Pap went to the revival at that one-room schoolhouse. And the more that Methodist preacher preached, the madder Pap got. And he walked out of there, And he told his wife, he said, you can go back to the revival. He said, but I'll never go back. Somebody told that preacher everything I ever did. But Pap went back. And I thought for many years, I was an adult before I realized, my great uncle told me, I thought Pap went to the altar there at the one-room schoolhouse during that revival. He did get saved during that revival, but not in the one-room schoolhouse. He went back. But he didn't go to the altar, but he's under old-time Holy Ghost conviction. And on his way home, carrying a lantern back there, and going home from the revival under conviction so much that he fought it in church, but he was getting to the point where he couldn't fight it any longer. And on his way home, right there, he had to pass the moonshine still. And right there at the ditch where the pipe went that pumped the moonshine, he knelt down right there and prayed through and got saved. Back around in the 1920s. And praise God for that. He was a tobacco farmer. And he remained a tobacco farmer. He couldn't read or write. But God called him to preach. Pap was one of the first preachers on the radio in Richmond, Kentucky. He was one of the first preachers when the radio station came on the air. He was one of the first preachers, but he never did get the light on tobacco. He chewed until he was up in years and still pastored the church. And most 90% of the tithe money in that church was tobacco money. But his son, my grandfather, also got saved later on. And God did give my papaw the light on tobacco. That was a way of life down there. And that was a way of life, and that's all they knew. And again, I'm not exaggerating. The money in that county was tobacco money. And that's how they made their living. And that's about all there was down there. And papaw was saved. He had gotten saved, but nobody had ever preached against cigarettes or chewing tobacco or anything like that. That wouldn't be healthy to have preached that there back then. But Papaw, he was saved, but he had his cigarettes up here in his shirt pocket and his chewing tobacco back here in his hip pocket. And that's the one Brother John Whitaker heard preach many years ago. And he was plowing with the team, working in the field. And God began to deal with my grandfather about his tobacco. And he said, your body's a temple of God, and this is unclean, this cigarettes and chewing tobacco. And he said, God dealt with him, and right there, plowing in the field, convicted him of tobacco. He said, I said, whoa, to the team. And he went over to the fence posts, and he said, I started cleaning out my pockets. He took the cigarettes out of his shirt pocket and the chewing tobacco out of his hip pocket and cleaned out his pockets and threw his tobacco away. And he said, I never did go back to see what happened to it. God delivered him. And God not only delivered him from chewing and smoking, but again, that was how they made their living. And he realized God didn't even want him raising tobacco. It's one thing to quit smoking, quit chewing. It's another thing to quit raising tobacco in tobacco country when that's all there was. And his family said, you'll starve to death. But he never did. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And some of my wife's family got saved as a result of the Asbury Revival in 1950 and 1951. That revival, and that began to spread out of Wilmore, Kentucky, to surrounding counties. And both of our grandparents were holiness preachers. And friends, something's been handed down to us. And Jehoshaphat said, I don't want to lose this. We've been handed down a possession. Joshua and Caleb back there, they fought for this. And we don't want to lose this, especially since while I'm king. I don't want this to happen. Let's do whatever it takes on our part, on our end, to make sure the Ammonites don't cast us out of our possession. 132 years. Folks, you've been handed down a possession. I would love to hear more about the history of this camp. Sister Bryant was telling me she remembers the old place and she remembered the sawdust and all that, friend. And God moved and came in that place, and we've been handed down a treasure. We've been handed down a treasure. God forbid that it should be lost on our watch. And again, may The Kansas State Holiness Association still be going strong when the trumpet sounds, but not just still in operation. Not just still with the lights on and the doors open, but may it still have the glory. May the Kansas State Holiness Association truly still obtain the possession, for it's not the building that's the possession. Amen. It's the glory of God. Amen. Folks, let's fight for that. Don't dare lose that. It's been here this week. It's too precious. It's too wonderful. God's doing something amazing in this place. Let's all be on guard. Let's all be on guard. During the Civil War, one of the greatest Southern generals, General Thomas Jackson. And at the first battle of Bull Run, one of the other Confederate soldiers noticed how General Jackson was holding steady and standing firm. And General Bernard B. pointed Jackson out to someone and said, "There is Jackson standing like a stone wall." And he got the name Stonewall Jackson. Well, may we stand like a stone wall in protecting our possession that God has given us. Amen. Let's keep the devil out. Let's keep sin out. Let's keep worldliness out. Let's stand firm. Let's stand firm. Keep the glory down and be the people that God wants us to be. Amen. And so there's so much here. You can read it all. They are waiting before God. And you know, the leaders need to have the answers. President of the camp, Brother Hurst, needs the answers. Dad, you're the head of your home. You need to have the answers. Those in leadership positions need to have the answers, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do not have the answers. And when we don't, when we do not have the answer, we just need to be honest. And that's what this king said. He's king. I mean, he knew a lot. I'm sure he was very knowledgeable and he knew a lot and was a very smart man, but he confesses to God, "Lord, I don't have a clue. The Ammonites, the Moabites, the people of Mount Seir are coming out against me." But in verse 12, he said, "Neither know we what to do." Lord, I don't know what else to do other than pray. And he also says something goes along with Brother Spivey's message this morning, "But our eyes are upon thee." The Hebrew writer said, and he read it this morning, "Looking unto Jesus." You're on your way to victory. If you're facing a giant, you're facing armies, you're facing overwhelming obstacles, and you're saying, "Hey, I'm going to look to God, I'm going to pray, and I don't know what to do, but I'm going to seek the Lord." You're on your way to victory. Verse 13, such a beautiful sight. All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. That's beautiful. And then verse 14, Jehaziel. Who in the world is he? Many years ago, I've got to hurry. Many years ago, when one of the first revivals I remember attending after I got saved, Brother Jimmy Bates, I believe, was the evangelist. And he was my pastor's uncle. And Brother Jimmy Bates, he said during that revival, he said, "One of you each night will be the key to this services." He said, "Tuesday night, one of you will be the key to that service. And if you will mind God, we'll have a good service." That's what he said. I don't know where he read that at or got that from, but that's what he said. I do know usually if one person will testify, usually others will. Sometimes when one person will go to the altar, sometimes others will. When we mind God, it just makes it easier for other people to mind God. And we talk about being a number two man. I don't know where Jehaziel was on the list, but folks, we need everybody's support. We need everybody's support. And here's a man that when God needed to come upon somebody, there's a vessel, there's an individual that I can bless and I can help and I can use. I think about Saul of Tarsus when he was being saved and God needed a man, wanted a man there in Damascus. He found a man named Ananias. Who was he? Well, he was simply there when God needed a man. God, help us to be there, to stand the gap. Say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And I believe Jehaziel was a man that's praying, seeking God, minding God, looking to God. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord, isn't it wonderful when the Spirit of God comes upon our people? What a blessing. It does bless the whole church. It does bless the whole church when God comes upon them. And he came upon this man, Jehaziel, with this wonderful message to the king and to Jerusalem, to all Judah. There in verse 15, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Praise God. That's encouraging. That comforts me today to know that it doesn't all depend upon me. It's His. It's His. The battle's the Lord's. Amen. And oh, this was such a blessing. The Spirit of God came upon this man and it encouraged everyone, you know, and helped each one. And God gave him a unconventional battle plan. In verse 17, he says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Well, they were already fighting. They just were fighting in a different way. Through their prayers, they were fighting. Through their fasting, they were fighting. Through confessing to God, Lord, we know we're not self-sufficient. We need you. They were fighting by saying, Lord, our eyes are upon thee. They were fighting. The New Testament says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Praise God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but make no mistake, we're in a fight. We're in a fight. And so God said, it's not all going to depend on you. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. I like those two words. And I believe that's what General Bernard B. was talking about General Jackson when Jackson was holding steady. Set yourselves. There's something about that. There's something about Jehoshaphat going down before God, confessing his need. He's the king, being honest. But our families and our churches, they need to know we're wholly dependent on God. We don't have all the answers. Without God, we're nothing. But they also do not need to see us in a panic. They do not need to, our children do not need to see us in a panic. Our churches, we need somebody we can look at and think, I think it's going to be all right. When those Southern soldiers looked at Stonewall Jackson, they thought it was going to be all right. He was holding steady. Back there when Moses was the leader, and they were in a battle, Moses was up on the mountain, and he had set himself. There was something about those Hebrew soldiers. They looked up on the mountain. They saw their leader with his hands in the air calling on God. It did something for them. It put inspiration in those soldiers. And they thought, Moses is up there talking to God. His hands are in the air. I believe we can win this thing. But Moses got tired. His hands began to fall. And he needed a little help. He needed a little encouragement. And Aaron and Hur went up there and tried to support him, and they rolled a stone for him to sit on, and Aaron got on one side and held up one arm, and Hur got on the other side and held up another arm. And what an inspiration that was, as these soldiers of Israel were down here in the battle, but they could look up on the mountain and see the man of God with two men right there with him, with their hands up in the air, and they felt like, we can make it. Set themselves. Stand still and see the salvation. And God gave them this plan. He said, the Lord will be with you. The battle is the Lord's. Without Him, we're history. We're gone. We're done. But with Him with us, there's victory. There's progress. There's gaining ground. Amen. And so God is with us. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And see somebody or hear somebody saying, You know, we're getting ready to fight a battle, King Jehoshaphat. It's not time to have church. It's time to get your sword. But worship is a critical part of spiritual warfare. Worshiping the Lord is a very important, a very critical part of spiritual warfare. Job was already on his way to victory after he'd lost all his substance, and things were really bad for Job, and yet he bowed before God, and the Bible says he worshiped. Amen. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants us not to worship. He wants to take that away. And if we stop worshiping, then we're on our way to defeat. We're on our way to defeat. And so he's worshiping the Lord. I love this, 2 Chronicles 20, because other people are getting in on it. It said the Levites and different ones, they stood up in verse 19 to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. You know, I know it's not all in the noise, but it's not all in the quietness either. Amen. We're a lot quieter than we used to be. I don't know if the old place where y'all used to be was very loud, but I know some of the places I used to be was pretty loud. But they praised the Lord God with a loud voice. Amen. And, well, praise God, we're all different. We're all different. I know that. We're all different. But I've found that about everybody gets loud over something. That wasn't even in the notes. Let's go on. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth. And down there, about halfway down, Jehoshaphat has another word for the people. He says, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord." There you go. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're talking about spiritual warfare tonight. The battle's the Lord's. We're praying, fasting, seeking God, confessing our need, standing on the promises, looking to Jesus for victory. But now, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. This is the victory. Even our faith. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Verse 21, when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers. Amen. Thank God for singers. Singers unto the Lord that should praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This is interesting here. In verse 21, it said, as they went out before the army. So we have singers and people praising God in front of the army. Well, I don't know about you, but if I'm singing Amazing Grace, I want to be behind the army. Amen. I don't want anybody shooting at me. But they've got them out front. Why? Because prayer, praise, singing, worship were all very important parts of spiritual warfare. Somebody said, if you can't pray through, praise through. How many of you had a hard time praying in your devotions and you started singing a little chorus to the Lord and all of a sudden it made it a little easier to pray? And they started praising the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And you know what? It wasn't a 10-day revival or a 2-week revival or even a Monday through Sunday revival. And they didn't wait till Sunday night to the last verse of the last song. But in verse 22, when they began. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments. And I believe God said here, if you do your part, I will do my part. I believe that applies today, folks, to us. If we will do our best to do what God is asking us to do, we don't have to worry about how we're going to defeat the enemy. God's going to do his part, because we're not going to defeat the enemy. It's going to be God. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, my wife and I tried to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My wife homeschooled our children for many, many years, and we prayed. We could have done better. I think we could all do better, but we tried to have a Christian home. And sometimes you wonder, did anything take effect? Anybody else ever feel that way? Did we do our, we're getting ready, my wife and I are getting ready to face empty nest syndrome. Our oldest is getting married, our son moved out, and looks like our youngest is going to be a senior in high school next year, and she's going to go to Penn View, and we're going to Kentucky. And we just hope and pray we did something right. But folks, I believe if we'll do our part, God will do His. But I will tell you this, that on our way to this camp meeting, our 17-year-old daughter is home by herself. She's going to a kids' camp. She was going to be help her in a kids' camp this week, but at that time, that day, she was by herself, and she was praying and seeking God. And she called me and her mom and said, God showed me I wasn't sanctified. And while my wife and I were headed out here, God sanctified our daughter, 17 years old. No one else there at home but her and the Lord, and God purified her heart. Praise God. Our son has had some struggles, like a lot of us do. But he called us, called me today at lunch, sitting there at the lunch table and telling us about the good weekend he had. And had a wonderful weekend. He was all pumped up and excited and said they had a wonderful, he talked to me, later talked to my wife, said they had a wonderful service there at Burlington, Kentucky. Said Brother Andrew Stroud preached a wonderful message, and I mean, it encouraged me just to hear his voice. I'm sure we made a lot of mistakes, but I thank God that God's faithful. God's faithful. And so they just try and hear King Jehoshaphat and the Levites and Jehaziel and all these different ones. They're trying to do what God wants them to do, but the battle's the Lord's. That's the short title. The long title of the message is, the battle's the Lord's, the victory is ours, and the glory is His. They began to sing and to praise the Lord. They're doing their part. Now God's doing His part. The Lord set ambushments against the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir, and they started killing one another. They began to wipe out. God began to take care of the enemy, and they began to slay one another. The battle hasn't really, I mean, it wasn't the kind of battle they thought it was going to be. What if? What's going to happen when we get to that bridge? God's going to help us when we get to that bridge. God's going to help us when we get to that bridge. And so when they got to that bridge, God had already took care of this massive problem. It says in verse 24, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies. These three massive armies are now dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance riches and with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering spoil. It was so much. That's being more than conquerors. And it said they called it the Valley of Berica. Berica, which means the Valley of Blessing. I'm glad we can have victory in the valley. Victory in the valley. Praise the Lord. Verse 27, then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them. I'll tell you what, they left a lot different. They're coming back a lot different than they left. Here the king's in front, and they're going to Jerusalem with joy. With joy. Praise God. Hallelujah for victory tonight. God had defeated the enemy. They were basically worshiping, praying, praising, worshiping God, and God took care of the enemy. They did their little part. They had to trust God. But God gave them victory. And now they're coming back to home, and when they begin to come back in, and the people in Jerusalem whose houses were along the path, they saw the king coming and the people coming, and by the countenance and by their look and their expression and their praise, you didn't have to guess who won the battle. You didn't have to guess. They came back with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was upon them. And the other nations, they realized, we better leave these folks alone. God is with them. And verse 30, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest. And I'm glad that when we need peace, rest, joy, God is all we need. He is there. And we do our little part. We keep our little hand, His big hand. Folks, He's going to pull us through. I believe we can make it. Praise God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if I succeeded in my deal or not, but anyway, I hope I was close. Thank you for your kind attention. May the Lord bless you. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep worshiping God. And let's make it through. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for this camp meeting. Thank you for every message, every song, every testimony, every prayer, every dollar that's been given. All that you've done, Lord, we give you all the praise. Lord, the battle is yours. The victory is ours. But we give you all the praise and all the glory. For the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise the Lord.